Hello and welcome back to A Mexican Crossing Lines with your host, Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And we're also broadcasting through Shoutcast online, so you can go to kpppfm.com and listen live. You can also find all of our other shows today. We are doing a special two-hour program on Morton County Lies.
Exactly.
Hashtag Morton County Lies. Hashtag Morton County Monsters. What they are doing is horrible in Standing Rock. What they did this Sunday evening throughout the night and into the hours of the morning of Monday was barbaric acts of inhumanity. These are crimes against humanity perpetrated on peaceful, unarmed people exercising their First Amendment rights to expression, to assemble, and to redress grievances. And this show is dedicated 2 hours to this because Morton County lies so much about everything they're doing, their intentions, their completely lawless and criminal. It is astounding to me how much they have done with the blessing of the prosecutor's office, who is also acting in a way that is reprehensible. Radley Balco called for him to be removed.
Exactly.
He should be removed, disbarred.
And that was over a month ago.
Prosecuted. Things are escalating very, very quickly, and there's going to be loss of life at the hands of these monsters. We need to do something to stop them now, and part of that is exposing what they're doing, exposing all their lies, because they are lying, and they've been caught. I mean, this is all on tape. It's all been released. It's in the media, and they still continue to deny what they've done. And there is a young lady named Sophia Walensky, who is probably going to lose her arm.
Exactly.
Because they threw a compression grenade at her, and they were aiming. Let me be very clear. They were aiming at people's heads. They were aiming at people's limbs, feet. This was very purposeful harm that was inflicted. They should be charged with murder.
Exactly.
They should be charged with attempted murder for what they did because they were trying to kill people. And it doesn't matter how many times they say less than lethal ammunition, less than lethal rounds, less than lethal. If you use something that isn't supposed to be used for lethal purposes, like, say, a lawnmower, and you use it in an incorrect way, you can kill somebody.
And these are things that blow up. These are things that are munitions. They call them less than lethal because they, I don't know why, because these things can blow your head off. These can cause damage, you know, to your internal organs. You might not die immediately. The lethal comes later when you die from the injuries. And they have numerous munitions that they're using. I mean, this is total militarization of the police with types of bombs and types of percussion grenades. It's not just one thing. It's not just a little pepper spray can. These are tear gas. These are bullets that are flying. These are things that are projectiles that are hitting people and harming people dramatically.
And add to that, that it was freezing.
Yeah.
If you missed all of the details, I mean, we're going to have lots and lots of interviews and shows coming up for weeks, probably. We're not going to stop talking about Standing Rock until the black snake is dead.
Exactly. Until it ends. And even when it ends, we're still going to be talking about it. I mean, we have interviews banked from going down, and we've been to camp 5 times. We have interviews from throughout the summer. We have interviews of people who went to jail and been released to talk about the conditions of the jails and what they do to people. They've been putting people in dog cages, consistently strip searching, no medical care, no response. These things need to be exposed, and we'll continue to expose those things.
Exactly. So for those of you who want to find out about all of the crimes of Morton County and the lies of Morton County, we've probably got 50 hours of programs that you can go and listen to right on our website.
That's right, kpppfm.com. Just go to the updates on Standing Rock, and you can listen from actually late August till today.
And there's some programs in Spanish, too. So if you have people that want, you know, programming in Spanish on Standing Rock, go and find it right there. Tonight, in the second hour of this special on Morton County Lies, we are going to be talking about some of the reporting that was coming from the front line, so you can hear more of the details of what has been going on. And I want to start by sharing the information that was coming directly from those who were out on the front lines, getting shot, getting pepper sprayed, getting maced. They were using the sound, the LRAD, I think it's called.
Yeah, sound cannon that deafens you and damages your body, basically.
Yes, and Kevin Gilbert, that's Kevin Gilbert with two T's, who managed to sit up on that hill for like 8 hours, freezing his butt off and filming and everything.
And this was Sunday night, November 20th through Monday morning, November 21st. Mm-hmm. It went all night long. It started about 6 p.m. and went till early morning hours.
And he had one of his friends who went down to take blankets to the people,
mm-hmm.
who was sprayed, who was... she was also hit with those cannons, the sound cannons,
mm-hmm.
and it was she was so overcome by the pepper spray and the chemicals and also the sound that she actually, you know, lost continence.
Yeah.
And that's what those machines, that's what these weapons do.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine just the power. These water cannons that they used on water protectors actually can cause severe injuries because the pressure is so high.
Exactly.
They ripped the skin completely off of the hand of one man down to the bone.
Down to the bone. And don't be fooled by the Morton County Sheriff's Department. They said they had fire trucks up there with hoses. There were no fire trucks. These were turrets on a military vehicle that was spraying and turreting around. Those were water cannons. Those were military equipment with water at 20-some degrees. There was water freezing off of the razor wire. People were freezing. People's socks were stuck to their skin. You know, people were out there freezing, and they kept on spraying, and for no reason.
And shooting people. And shooting people. And shooting people. And shooting people. And it was constant. It wasn't like, oh, it happened for a little bit, and then there was hours of peace. No, it was constant for 8 hours. It's just terrifying. So I wanted to start with the... frontline update by Sarah Juanita Jumping Eagle from Standing Rock. She's a pediatrician there and also wife of former congressional candidate Chase Iron Eyes.
A post by Sarah Juanita Jumping Eagle, November 21st. Morton County police continue to lie to cover their violations of human rights. Their ability to lie and perpetuate propaganda to cover up their own inhumanity and violent disregard of human lives and bodies is never ending. Morton County Police have disgraced the uniform police officers. Protect and serve does not equal lie and cover up and lie again when you cannot contain your violent, ignorant, arrogant stupidity. Morton County Sheriff Kirchmeyer continues to make up excuses for his and his police force's mistakes, ineptitude, and arrogance. When will reason reign? Apparently, bloodshed of water protectors is not enough to cause militarized police to protect and serve humans and public health before they hurt and maim people for a pipe in the ground. Their god has become money and oil. They bow and scrabble before it. They stand proudly in their regalia, sprayed with blood and oil. They hide behind their uniformed garb to veil their joy at invading our flesh, just as they cut this earth into shards. Yet they can never pierce this armor of spirit, of heart, courage, and truth. Hashtag justice sees all.
Here is a Facebook post about events that occurred at Standing Rock's face-off with Morton County Sheriff's Department by Yeet Leet Killer. How Metakiapi, hello relatives and friends. It was a hard, long night on the front lines. Law enforcement came at night with all their usual weapons against us water protectors. Concussion grenades, rubber bullets, tear gas, pepper spray, coiled wire, sound weapons, and now water cannons to freeze us. They snipe us with their shooters. They aim for the face and private areas. One young woman had her lower arm blown off, and her blood is still in my car. Legolas. The blood is the truth for those who don't believe this is happening to peaceful water protectors. She was walking away when a concussion grenade hit her. Please tell the world. We need help and protection. People are getting hypothermic. The police snicker and laugh at people praying and being sprayed point blank. I stood, prayed, and watched this. I was luckily shot on the head, on the hand, and it ricocheted off my nose with no blood, only soreness. They randomly shotted stuff into the crowd. I stood in the corner of the icicled wire, an icicled truck barricade, and the big armored truck attack vehicle. I watched and yelled to the crowd, heads up, when the next thing was being thrown. They water blasted me good many times, but I turned my back to them. They didn't know it, but they made me a shield of frozen coat and skirt all the way to the ground. I joked and said, knock on my head, it's a helmet. It was frozen, rock hard. New water just flowed off. When tear gassed, I went to the ground to hide my face in Unsi Maka, Grandmother Earth, and she protected me and let me breathe until Tate, the wind, blew the tear gas away. These are my truths. We want to protect the water. Who is law enforcement protecting? Please keep praying for the water, for our safety, and for everyone. Pilamiya, yay, thank you. Miniwichoni, water is life. Here, Johnny Dangers reports from the front line. And here is a frontline update posted by Johnny Dangers.
A post by Johnny Dangers, November 22nd. There is a war going on in the collective consciousness of America. One side is slowly decolonizing their hearts and minds of the corrupt system built on genocide, slavery, and white supremacy. Their actions must follow suit because a silent ally is no ally at all in these times. A silent ally watches a woman get attacked, an immigrant get beat, and indigenous rights shredded. A silent ally speaks one way in private and acts another way in public, with eyes watching. A silent ally watches impossible actions and claims afterwards that they did not support them, but never lifted a finger. A silent ally is no ally at all. Will you side with the powerful or the people? We all have a choice to make. Do not be silent. Do not be a collaborator. We will not forget. Johnny Dangers. Hashtag Trump. Hashtag no dapple. Hashtag water is life.
Here is a frontline update post by Linda Black Elk.
A post by Linda Black Elk, November 21st. I'm not going to repost lying bullshit press conference being put on by Morton County Sheriff. If you want to hear some insane lies, find it. But let me ask you this. Why in such a small area and with the incredible technology they use against us? Why is there never a single shred of video evidence to support their claims? Why does all the video evidence refute their claims? It's simple. They're liars. Hashtag no dapple.
Here's a TYT politics report from the front line, which includes a discussion with one of the medics.
Lock us up at the gates of hell. Yeah, yeah. We're staring down. No, dapple, we won't back down. Lock us up at the gates of hell. Dead down. We stand our ground.
My name is Emily Whitehorse. We're doing a peaceful action at the bridge, and the police arrived in full riot gear and started shooting water at us. It's near freezing out. People are freezing on their coats. And I mean, we're just protecting the water, and the police are working for DAPL right now and armed like military.
So what do you have here? Tear gas or?
Yeah, it was tear gas. I was walking through a cloud trying to get someone to a medical transport who got hit in the head, and I got full on tear gas. I think he got hit by a tear gas canister. I don't know. He was in the very front and wasn't responding to.
Yeah, how does it feel to be here and see the police brutality?
I mean, it hurts my heart. I really just wish that like we didn't have to fight for resources like water that would add to the health of people all around the world, especially in the age of global warming. And with Trump becoming president, it just seems like the fascism is going to continue, to be honest. Like, this is not protecting law. This is not protecting anything good. This is injustice. We have right to this land. It is treaty land. And so it just hurts.
Yeah, and what do you say? This company actually breaking the law and the police protecting them?
Yeah, the police are protecting them. Not only that, they've employed companies such as that have been affiliated with Blackwater and G4S, which are some of the main proponents, or which are some of the biggest privatized prisons in the world, and also who do have the detention centers for Palestine. I really gotta get out.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, DAPL, we won't back down. You can lock us up at the gates of hell. We won't back down.
I come from the Anishinaabe people, from the Great Lakes, from the San Pumigoshuk. My name is Makawase. I'm here to protect humanity and the rights that humans have. The rights that we have to drink free water. The rights that we have as humans, as indigenous people of this country. What's happening here, DAPL, is doing everything illegally. You're breaking treaties. You're breaking humanity rules. Laws of humanity. We gather in peaceful prayer and you attack us with rubber bullets, armed bullets, percussion grenades, tear gas and tanks. It's okay because us is Native people. We're not going to go anywhere. This isn't the first time we've been shot at, and it won't be the last.
Yeah, what do you want to say to all the people in this country that don't take action here?
Rise up. Rise up and be heard. The seventh generation, it's time for us to rise and unite. No more separation. No more discrimination. Only unification will the seventh generation rise and defeat this black snake. Nation and nation, one tribe, one vibe, one mind, one drumbeat. Rise up and be heard across the nation. Don't let your suppressors suppress you, and don't give in. This country still doesn't belong to the American government. This country belongs to the native and the indigenous people. The laws that you break every day, you guys will have to pay for these laws. You break treaties every day, and you will be held accountable. Trump, you're the worst president in the United States history, and you haven't even started yet. You're no friend of Native America.
Up at the gates of hell, and we won't back down. We will stand our ground. No, DAPL, we won't back down.
Next, we have a very special interview with Lee Sprague. He is a water rescue team member. They're also with the Michigan Canoe Team, who we interviewed literally an hour or so, maybe not even that long, before the
water
police
came out.
Yeah, because before water, people were being assaulted with water cannons and mace and shot with rubber bullets. On Highway 1806.
Okay.
Public camp, it's the Michigan canoe team, the water rescue team. We're the ones that went over to Turtle Island on November the 6th. And with the ropes tied to the boats and canoes, I went over there. You have people with wetsuits here. These guys are, this guy's the first responder in the wetsuit. This guy's in a wetsuit. This guy's in a wetsuit.
Wow.
And so we just actually came back from a call where there was somebody in the water. The most amazing thing was, who asked, was there anybody in the water? But who asked Dapple, who's in the water?
Dirty Clothes.
Dirty Clothes?
That's what
his name.
That's his nickname.
but anyway, that's the story that happened. And here's, it's amazing, okay? And you can talk about this. But so we went over there. We had a report in the radio that there was somebody in the water. We went over there. Didn't see anybody. But we saw a car and there was somebody in the boat. We asked Dapple on the Turtle Island, where they're up on the hill where they sprayed our people at. We asked them, did you see anybody in the water? And they said negative. It was big. That's all.
Okay, well, tell me, introduce yourself.
I'm going to use my language, is that all right?
Of course.
Yes. My name is Lee. I'm from the Crane Clan. I'm from the territories currently occupied by the state of Michigan, and I am from the Gun Lake Tribe in Michigan.
And you're out here winterizing and getting ready for the cold.
Absolutely. What we've done here is we've taken our winter, our summer shelter, which were dug in, as you can see, on the perimeter. They were all dug in. This is even dug in deeper. And they had like a wiki up or a wigwam over it with tarps over it. And so we decided that we were going to build a structure over the top of it, and then we pulled it all down. So what you see now is our kitchen is actually outside, okay? And we're actually building a kitchen, and we can take a look at it. And that kitchen is the heart of this camp. We like to eat traditional foods, so we get a lot of donations, but here we have some chili, right, from
right.
New Mexico. Over here, you can see a deer skin over here that, from a deer that came out the other day. And so these guys are, you know, and we're hosting Thanksgiving. That's the most important thing. We are, you see right now, we have guest teepees, okay? Those were just up in the last 2 days. This is the third one right here coming up, okay? We have a winterized structure for our kitchen, but we're preparing a meal for all of our visitors and guests. We are going to take a plate of food over to Dapple to share Thanksgiving dinner with them.
Wow.
Okay, because, and we're asking President Obama to declare a truce for Thanksgiving Day, and we'd like to have 4 days. Because it's been difficult. But beyond all that, we're getting ready. Our kitchen's going to be up. We're going to have Thanksgiving dinner. These are our guest tents right here. These are the private shelters of the people that are over the Michigan Canoe Rescue Team. We brought our canoes here. We have wetsuits. We get in the water. We help people. We've probably saved, when I say saved, we probably helped, you know, 20 to 30 people that would have had some form of hypothermia by just being able to be there with space blankets, heating pads under the armpits and the necks, and heating pads in the groin. And then back behind the shore, we have actually large waterproof duffel bags with blankets, gloves, and hats, and mittens. So after we get them dried off, we can get them some clothes and keep them warm. Because it's been difficult as of today, but we realize that the weather's going to get a lot worse. So we're really training here to make sure that this team, in association with the Michigan camp over here, the Michigan Canoe Rescue Team, and the Pueblo camp, are here to make sure that we can help people in the water. And we even said that we would help. We had a meeting. We have a meeting every day, a team meeting. And we even said that we were going to help even Dapple if they were in the water struggling, that we would go out there and help them also. So that's what we're committed to doing. It's going to get dangerous. It's going to get very cold. We have wetsuits right now. We're going to have dry suits, which will allow us to be even more protective in the water. And so we've had some great help. A great nation, the Suquamish Nation, has assisted us with some wetsuits from the great city of Seattle and the territories occupied by Seattle. And those dry suits, which allow our people to go into the water, we have ropes on every diver or every swimmer. Those dry suits allow everybody to get into there safely and help people back. And if you come at the end of the long row right down there, you're going to see those four canoes that went over to Turtle Island on November the 6th. We're about at the end of our lifespan of a canoe, safely. If the canoe falls over, then you have three people in trouble. So right now, we are desperate for rubber boats. Not the $1.99 or $100 boats at the store, but like, you know, substantial thick rubber boats that we can put four people in there and literally pull people out of the water into the boat. That's something we can't do with a canoe. And then the next level is We want to make sure that we have the capacity to actually help somebody on the ice. Okay? Now, that's where I get to come in. From Michigan, I do a lot of ice fishing. I spend time with snowshoeing on the ice. And so we're actually been start training. I have our snowshoes here. And we're ready to go out on the ice and pull people off. We have toboggans. So we came here with our traditional technologies. We came here with our canoes. We created that. We came here with our toboggans. We created those. We came here with our snowshoes. We created those. And we're using those traditional technologies. And the Pueblos, who have been fighting the Spanish, the Pueblos fought the Spanish off for 35 years in the early 1600s or the 1680s. You know, the Spanish were here hundreds of years. The French were here a couple hundred years. The English were here 350 years. Americans have only been around 150 years. Okay? Perspective here. We're here. We're always going to be here. We've outlasted the Spanish, gone. The French, gone. The British, gone. And this too shall pass. We're rich for talking to us today.
Thank you so much for the interview. What an honor to meet you.
Yes. My name is Leech Begum. I'm the former chief of the Little River Band of Ottawa Indians, or Ogima. Did you get all that then? Good, good, good. My children are Pueblo. My partner was Pueblo. My grandchildren are here. My two daughters have been here. They're actually in Albuquerque getting goods and supplies and relatives to come up for Thanksgiving. We're going to join us to celebrate. And so, as you can see, we're working hard. We're getting this thing built. We have our guest accommodations. And we're still responding. We just responded 2 hours ago to a water rescue, and nothing was there. It was all safe. And Dapple said to us, we asked, did you see anybody in the water? And they said negative. And that was like an amazing moment for us.
Wow.
So, you know, if we get a call, we run and jump. That's the canoe with the car. We keep our yellow flags on. These guys have equipment in that little orange car there has our first response with the best ropes, harnesses, and wetsuits. We've got 3 wetsuits in the water right now. With a couple of rubber boots, we'll have 5 wetsuits in the water. That's helping now. And then we have dry suits. And we're going to have, you'll see this probably in the near future, where we have dry suits. And that's the ultimate rescue tool that we need, you know.
Yeah.
And our tribes and our brothers know this. And they've come to support us. I really have to say thank you to the Suquamish Nation, their warrior society, who came here, they ate with us, they talked with us, and understood clearly what we're here trying to do. And so that's why you see that canoe out there in front of the Pueblo camp. That's the synergy that's being developed here. And my kids, being Pueblo and Anishinaabe from the Great Lakes, they're also aquatic. And that's what we bring to the table here.
Thank you so much for everything you're doing.
Thank you very
much. Appreciated.
Thank you.
And it is an incredible interview, even more so for that reason, because he was talking about being prepared to go and rescue people
mm-hmm.
in the water. And moments later, that's what he was doing.
Exactly. These are the first responders, you know, at camp, the water protector protectors.
Mm-hmm. The water protector protectors. And here is a clip from his own reporting when he was out there.
Yeah, they're spraying us with water. We're pretty good at the water protectors. We have our wetsuits on. We're getting first aid in the front line. Here he comes. I'm going to duck out of the way. Yeah, I got glass on though. Oh, there he is. He's out of water. So we're here at the front lines of the water protectors. Here we have Dapple folks right there. Right there at the front lines. There we are. Signing up now. I got to get safe. Bye.
A post by Chad Charlie at the front lines, November 21st. To those of you who feel the need to voice yourselves after every one of these traumatic events to continuously remind us we are not at war, this is not a war zone, and you need to stay in prayer, please feel free to get off your seat and come down to the lines. Please come down, stand by, and witness as dozens of people get shot down for standing with their hands up in the open on the other side of police barricades. Come down and remind us that this is not a war zone while we get hit with concussion grenades just for wanting to clear the bridge. Come to the line and give us a lecture on how to stay peaceful as we get hosed down for hours on end, threatening our lives by hypothermia. I respect you. I respect your words. But as we wind down from these actions, I can't even breathe without tasting the exhalation of tear gas that has completely taken over my lungs. I can't listen to the camp next door use their nail gun to winterize their camp without flinching, thinking that we're still being shot at. As I walk through camp, I can't help but look at people's faces, checking to see if they're one of the unconscious bodies we carried across the bridge to seek medical attention. I can't seem to forget the numerous moments that repeatedly play in my head of when all that my eyes see is the shadows of unarmed protectors falling to the ground after being shot numerous times as huge floodlights blind us from knowing whether or not we will be shot when we rush to go pick them off the ground. Please understand that we do not seek war. We do not come to the front lines with the intentions of being shot, maced, tear-gassed, or attacked with life-threatening hypothermia tactics. We did not create this war zone. Till this day, after months of being inhumanely attacked and mistreated, we are still unarmed. We are still here praying for this to be over.
This is a press release prepared by the Standing Rock Medic and Healer Council at the Standing Rock Dakota Access Pipeline Resistance Camp from Monday, November 21st. The Standing Rock Medic and Healer Council responded to a mass casualty incident that began at 6 p.m. yesterday evening. Approximately 300 injuries were identified, triaged, assessed, and treated by our physicians, nurses, paramedics, and integrative healers, working in collaboration with local emergency response. These 300 injuries were the direct result of excessive force by police over the course of 10 hours. At least 26 seriously injured people had to be evacuated by ambulance to three area hospitals. Police continuously assaulted demonstrators with up to three water cannons for the first 7 hours of this incident in sub-freezing temperatures dipping to 22 degrees Fahrenheit, causing hypothermia in the majority of the patients treated. Chemical weapons in the form of pepper spray and tear gas were also used extensively, requiring chemical decontamination for nearly all patients treated and severe reactions in many. Projectiles in the form of tear gas canisters, rubber bullets, and concussion grenades led to numerous blunt force trauma injuries, including head wounds, lacerations, serious orthopedic injuries, eye trauma, and internal bleeding. Every emergency medical unit from the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation responded to the incident, and additional ambulances were sent from Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, South Dakota, Kidder County, and Morton County. Three seriously injured patients were transported directly by ambulance from the scene, and another 23 patients were transported by ambulance after initial assessment and treatment in camp. Injuries from the mass casualty incident included an elder who lost consciousness and was revived on scene, a young woman with a grand mal seizure, a woman shot in the face by a rubber bullet with subsequent eye injury and compromised vision, a young man with internal bleeding who was vomiting blood after a rubber bullet injured his abdomen, a man shot in the back near his spine by a rubber bullet causing blunt force trauma and severe head laceration, multiple fractures secondary to projectiles fired by the police. The Standing Rock Medic and Healer Council condemns the excessive police violence and calls upon law enforcement to cease and desist these nearly lethal actions. Specifically, we demand the cessation of water cannons in sub-freezing temperatures. Our volunteers performed well under challenging circumstances last night, but we would not have been able to do this without the help of water protectors and local community members who transported patients to our clinic, organized warming spaces, and provided food and tea. We specifically want to thank the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe EMS services for their excellent response and highest quality care and unprecedented situation. They were phenomenal. They recognized the severity of what we were dealing with. It could have been a lot worse, said Jasmine, a volunteer physician from the Standing Rock Medic and Healer Council. Donations for the medical and public health response can be made to the Standing Rock Medic and Healer Council at www.medichealercouncil.com www.ncbc.org/donate. Next, we have an interview with Cody Blue Snyder, who is a director and writer at Circle of Confusion and STT Productions out of New York. He is also the son of Dee Snyder of Twisted Sister fame. He was working down there. Dean Snyder went there along with his son. His son was going to be doing some documentary filmmaking about the events at Standing Rock. And they were also there working with AIM from California. Is that correct, Rob?
From California, yep.
Mm-hmm. Here's his interview.
So this is Cindy from KPPPLP 88.1 FM, and I am here with press. Would you like to introduce yourself and tell us where you're from?
Yeah, my name's Cody Blue Snyder. I'm actually a little bit of an unorthodox press. I'm here with AIM, working with Grey Wolf, but it's actually for a documentary hybrid music video for Dee Snyder. I'm his son. I'm also the director of the music video.
I just saw him earlier.
Yeah, that's what he came out. He came out for us. So, you know, it's the least we can do. I mean, we've worked on a bunch of treatments. It's actually a funny story. We had, Dee was on Celebrity Apprentice with Trump a couple seasons.
I remember.
And Trump actually was even using his song as a campaign song. And my father is very progressive, had to ask him to stop. But ultimately, the point is the financier pulled, and we had a smaller budget, something about $25,000, and we were like, let's just put all the money into getting some real film equipment, and let's go down there, and let's just shoot the Dakota Access Pipeline in a way that people haven't seen it before. So we're down here with high grade film cameras, whether it's Girl with the Dragon Tattoo has been shot, so all the big Hollywood studio movies, anamorphic lenses. We're shooting black and white with an infrared filter, so it looks really poetic and beautiful. So we came down here, and we knew, but you don't really know until you're here. And you just don't know. And we're aware, and the entire crew is, they're young, they're pretty young, and we're all with the spreading of information. The proliferation of information with the internet, and the access to it with Netflix and everything. People, ignorance is no longer an excuse, but with information comes a responsibility. So we felt like we could come out here and, that we might be able to shine a light on it or use our abilities to shine a light on it. But now that we're here, it is so much greater than this, and the corruption is so deep. I mean, outside of dealing with, the fact that we're dealing with the colonized people who were genocided, and this is still the perpetuation of a colonization that started centuries ago, outside of that, we're talking about big oil, which is destroying the world. Everyone running around will go, maybe I drink more green juice, maybe that will get rid of my cancer. Why are breast cancer increasing? Why is this? Why is that? Why is everyone getting leukemia? This is it. They have so much power, people want to think, they want to make excuses. These people, not only do they make the oil and they build the pipes, they also own the companies that clean up the oil spills. So it's profitable for them to even be cleaning up the oil spills. This is so systemic. This is so deep. They're tied directly into the banks. And this is dark. Yeah, I'm rambling a bit, but I just came. Yeah.
I know. You look traumatized, brother. I have to tell you. I'm watching your eyes.
It's dark.
I'm watching your eyes, and you look traumatized, and you just came from the front lines. Tell me what you saw. I mean, the raw emotion of what you just experienced needs to be expressed to the world.
I just said this to you before we start recording. The fact of the matter is that there was a civil war taking place in America, and it's between the people and the corporations. And it's that simple. Everyone's so secretive within the camps because there's infiltrators and there is misinformation. And everyone is very protective, and there is a paranoia that comes with that. I mean, you have, the rumors are intense, but you have, I don't want to perpetuate the fear, but there's a lot of bad stuff from poisoning of water to planes flying by and dropping things to, you know, it's just hard, you know, guns being planted on people being arrested, it's just terrible. But the point is, I guess, is we it's so secretive that we've been waiting all day to shoot a protest because we thought, you know, hey, we'll get in it, we'll cover the protest, you know, we'll, it's a bunch of people standing in front of them, and then, you know, if something like maybe someone gets maced or something, right? We find out that something there, you know, there was a protest that started that they tried to take the bridge. We drive down and it is full on war. It is just hordes of people peacefully, and you know, that's the thing. Nobody has drugs on them, nobody has weapons on them, and you simply can't, because it gives them a reason to incarcerate you. Okay, nobody has weapons, nobody has drugs, and everyone is standing there in peaceful protest, and they are just being shot point blank range with hoses, and it's ice, it's freezing cold with fire hoses, multiple fire hoses, and getting shot with rubber bullets and being tased and maced and beaten, and there's all these people, all these peaceful protesters, and we're talking about students from all over the world, from Brown and Harvard and Berkeley, young, brilliant minds of this generation who all are coming down to do something, and they're there in peaceful protest, and you have all these people ushering in, medic, medic, and these kids are getting ushered out. And they're getting ushered out, and people are running. Everyone's just trying to help each other. You have all these people running in goggles, earplugs, because they're using
LRADs.
Yeah. They're using that technology, which is what's the deal with this technology, Chinisi? That ultimately, it's technology that they emit a high pitched frequency that makes you essentially release your bodily functions, and you'll vomit everywhere and release your bowels. Yeah, is that what's up? Whatever. It's some experimental, messed up technology, but this is a complete militarization against a population. This is. We got there and we couldn't even shoot at first. We were just so stunned that this is actually what's happening. And it's just people being. It's just these waves of martyrs, of young martyrs, and they go to the front lines and they just get beaten, and beaten, and beaten, until they get carried out by other water protectors and people that want to make a change. And then when the pain subsides, they go back and they take more of the beating and they do it again and again. And it's crazy. You know, we're the media, you know, and we were tear gassed, and our director of photography was shot with a rubber bullet, and you know, we really even couldn't get to the front lines to really cover what's going on. And that's a violation of our amendments. And this is, everyone needs to understand that this is a battle against the corporations. There's a divide in this country, and it seems to always, everybody knows there's corruption. Everybody knows there's manipulation, there's disinformation, there's dissent. But there seems to be, people think it's either the corporations or the government. And people divide. People like to, we just point at each other. And the tricky thing is, it's both. That's the paradox. It's both. But it's because they've infected one another, you know? They're you know, with things like Citizens United, and you know, and we are in a place where evolution has been halted because archaic systems are fighting for their life and their survival, and they're strangling the people on the planet. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, but yeah, and that's where we are, you know. And I think the crazy thing is, you know, I'm 26, I turn 27 soon. I thought we were further along. You know, I thought, yeah, I did think there was a shift in consciousness. I do. I still do. But I don't know how this is going to end. I don't know how this is going to end.
Yeah.
No, it's cool, you know.
I'm sorry.
No, it's cool, yeah. It's not.
That shouldn't have happened to you.
No, please. That wasn't, nothing happened to us. This was not bad. Well, what happened to us was not, we experienced a little bit of tear gas, and we're like, oh my God, that is horrible. But we couldn't get close enough because the equipment would be destroyed. And we have expensive equipment out here because we brought film equipment. so we couldn't get, we couldn't really be close enough because we wouldn't be able to shoot anymore and it'd be a moot point. So we had to protect the equipment because our job is to capture this. But the fact is we couldn't get close enough. And that's one of the reasons they use the tactics they use. I mean, not only does it just make all the protests like this, I mean, you guys know, I mean, you're reporting on this, you know how deep this goes, and I wish I could sit here and I could rally off everything. And we had in the crazy, this is the thing. Yeah, what's up, Chen? You just listen, you just get into this.
No, I just really appreciate you being here.
I really appreciate you being here.
Thanks, good.
I appreciate you being here.
No, I enjoy it. It's nice to talk about this. It makes me feel better.
And I thank you so much for the interview and for sharing your experience of being here.
Thanks. Yeah, there's one other thing I want to say, which is the most bizarre, incredible thing about this.
Hold the microphone.
Yeah, no, this is.
You got me crying, dude.
No, man.
Oh
my God. I know. It's this. You have faction of brilliant people, and this is all a spiritual movement. It is amazing because this is centered, focused on the indigenous people, you know, and this is coming full circle. We're in a very, very interesting time. You know, this is something I never speak about, honestly. I'm partly embarrassed about it, you know, and that's also a problem. We have to be willing to speak our truth and to not be worried about being embarrassed or being judged, you know, and it's part of the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm working on that, you know, and that's the thing, right? You know, it's all, the external is all a metaphor for the self. All we can do is look at ourself and try to change ourself, right? So, I mean, or heal whatever we're seeing in other people, heal whatever that is within yourself, you know, that you're seeing on the outside. But I digress. The point is that it's a really fascinating thing that with our science, at a certain point, we've moved to quantum physics, from Newtonian physics to quantum physics. And we are now validating the very fundamental understandings that the ancient people felt. We're now validating the spiritual belief systems that the ancient people always said, and our science is there to prove it. We now know everything's energy, the same energy. We now know our consciousness affects the external reality. We now know that
we're all connected.
All connected. And we're all one. Yeah, we're all relatives. So the fascinating thing is, you're spending these time in the camps with these ancient people with this wisdom, and it's all love and spirit, and it's all in prayer. Everything is in prayer. So everything is in peace and love and prayer. And then you just watch them be beaten and beaten and beaten by these corporations that are just infected with greed. And there was something that's always stuck with me, which, you know, I don't know what tribe it was, but they had a word for something called, I think it was called Wicca, and it meant to want more than you need. And I think many of us have heard this before, but Wicca, right, means to want more than you need. And all indigenous people from all around the world had a name for this, and it was a mental pathology. It was a disease, and they treated it like a mental disease. If you wanted more than you need, if you were out of balance, if you were not living like everything else in nature and only taking what you need, you got treated for a mental insanity. And then the European imperialists came along, who they knew right away were infected with Wicca, and found an entire culture based on this disease, this mental illness of wanting more than you need. And we see it at a systemic level. We see it at a systemic level with all these corporations that just take, 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 take. And it's just a fallacy. It's wrong.
It is, definitely. Thank you so much for your interview.
And the injuries were horrific, but none more so than the severely injured water protector, Sophia Walensky. Here's a press release detailing what happened to her and information provided by her family.
For immediate release, November 22nd, 2016 at 9 a.m. Central Time. For press conference information, contact medichealercouncil@gmail.com. Prepared by Standing Rock Medic and Healer Council at the Standing Rock Dakota Access Pipeline Resistance Camps. On November 21st, as a direct result of the violent police response at Standing Rock towards unarmed people opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline, a 21-year-old woman from New York City, Sophia Walensky, was severely injured when a concussion grenade thrown by police hit her left arm and exploded. Sophia was heading to bring water to the unarmed people who were being attacked for several hours by Morton County Sheriff forces. The Morton County Sheriff's Department has stated that she was injured by a purported propane explosion that the Sheriff's Department claimed the unarmed people created. These statements are refuted by Sophia's testimony by several eyewitnesses who watched police intentionally throw concussion grenades at unarmed people, by the lack of charring of flesh at the wound site, and by the grenade pieces that have been removed from her arm in surgery and will be saved for legal proceedings. Sophia was safely taken out of North Dakota for emergency surgery and is currently in stable condition. Below is her statement as conveyed by her father, lawyer Wayne Wolanski. Quote, "At around 4:30 a.m., after the police hit the bridge with water cannons and rubber bullets and pepper spray, they lobbed a number of concussion grenades, which are not supposed to be thrown at people directly, at protesters or protectors, as they want to be called. A grenade exploded right as it hit Sophia in the left forearm, taking most of the undersurface of her left arm with it. Both her radial and ulnar artery were completely destroyed. Her radius was shattered, and a large piece of it is missing. Her medial nerve is missing a large section as well. All of the muscle and soft tissue between her elbow and wrist were blown away. The police did not do this by accident. It was an intentional act of throwing it directly at her. Additionally, police were shooting people in face and groin, intending to do the most possible damage. Sophia will have surgery again tomorrow as bit by bit they try to rebuild a somewhat functioning arm and hand. The first surgery took a vein from her leg, which they have implanted in her arm to take the place of the missing arteries. She will need multiple surgeries to try to gain some functional use of the arm and hand. She will be, every day, for the foreseeable future, fearful of losing her arm and hand. There are no words to describe the pain of watching my daughter cry and say she was sorry for the pain she caused me and my wife. I died 1,000 deaths today and will continue to do so for quite some time. I am left without the right words to describe the anguish of watching her look at her now alien arm and hand." End quote. A fund set up by friends and verified to help with Sophia's recovery is set up at the following link. GoFundMe.com/30AEZXS. The Standing Rock Medicare Council deplores the ongoing use of violence by the state of North Dakota to address the concerns of thousands of people peacefully assembled at Standing Rock to insist on the right to clean, healthy drinking water. Water is life, Mniwachoni. Signed, Linda Black Elk, Ph.D., ethnobotanist, Sitting Bull College. Michael Knudsen, MPH candidate, Standing Rock Medic and Healer Council. Noah Morris, EMT. Amelia Masuko, RN. John Andrews, RN. Christina Golden, EMT, herbalist. Sebastian Rodriguez, RN. Rosemary Pfister, RN, MNPHN, DNP candidate. Rupa Maria, MD, Do No Harm Coalition, University of California, San Francisco. David Kingfisher, MD, JD, Wichita State University. Jesse Lopez, MD, Heartland Surgical Care. Kalama Oka Aina Nihiu, MD, Aha Aloha Aina. Howard Ehrman, MD, MPH, University of Illinois, Chicago. Gita Maker Clark, MD, University of Chicago. Elizabeth Friedman, MD, Vanessa Bolin, ALS Paramedic. Contact Michael Knudsen, Medic Coordinator and Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, ethnobotanist Linda Black Elk, PhD, at the Medic Healer Council at gmail.com. Photos are available by request.
I've said it before, and I will say it again. Morton County lies. That is all they have been doing, is lying. They have lost all credibility for their agency and for law enforcement. People are waking up, especially the people that are in Standing Rock right now, whether they're from a Native Nation or from one of the Rainbow Nations. It doesn't matter. They are waking up to the brutality of police, to the militarization of the police. We've been talking about it here in KPPP a long time.
Yeah, and it hasn't creeped up on us. It's been there, and it's really in our faces right now. So now is the time to really wake up, people. See what's happening. Quit listening to the local news with their lies about this, because they spread the lies of Morton County.
It's very hard to believe that all of your corporate media is failing you, that all of it is trash, that all of it is bought, paid for, sold out, and that it meets the needs of the people that are paying the bills.
Mm-hmm.
And that those corporate interests, those government interests have to inform the way in which you create the news and the way in which you consume the news.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't be surprising, but if you're not educated about the consolidation of media, the bias in media, it is very difficult to believe that all of the media is lying to you.
Yeah.
It sounds like, you know, a conspiracy theory, but it's true.
Yeah, and what helps a lot is Facebook and Facebook Live. People's ability to broadcast independently outside of corporate media, there's the truth. All you have to do is watch what has happened, compare what you're reading in the Fargo Fulham and these other media outlets, and you'll see that they're lying. Because the evidence is right in front of you. You just have to use your eyeballs and your ears.
And it's not so much that that they're constantly lying. It's that they're not doing their job. You can't call that information, news, facts. It's the rehashed press releases of Morton County or the governor or DAPL or whoever. They just print what they're told. They don't ask any questions. They don't verify. This was very troubling to me when I was editor of High Plains Reader. All these new kids coming out of college mm-hmm. with journalism degrees and don't know how to ask a question.
Yeah, that's right. And scared to ask questions.
And we live in a racist society, in a society that has been committing genocide against Native people since colonizers came here. And we live in a deeply racist society that just elected the man who was endorsed by the Ku Klux Klan.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the kind, you know, this is the kind of thing that we keep hearing from Morton County Sheriff Kyle Kirchmeyer.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that the Native people, that these peaceful water protectors are dangerous thugs, criminals, outsiders. It's the same thing over and over again. They're going to hurt our officers. You know, the crazy thing they said is that there was one officer that got hit in the head with a rock.
Yeah, I mean, they actually have a video on their webpage now, and it's like, it's odd. They're filming. You see, why haven't they been producing their videos? This is from behind the lines of where the cops are. And then this rock kind of gets lobbed out and hits a guy in the head that has a helmet on. I'm thinking, wonder how much, what? Where'd that come from?
And
it's odd. It's very odd.
It's very odd.
I think it's staged.
It probably is. I mean, I don't believe anything they're doing. They said that people were throwing logs that were on fire at the police. Mm. It's really hard to throw a log.
Yeah,
period.
They should video that. You know?
Where's the log on fire?
Log on fire.
They never have any video evidence. But I want you to listen to this quote. As I have said on numerous occasions, we are not going to stand for this. And if necessary, we will fill the jails full and we do not care whose toes we step on. I'm saying now to these meddlers from out of our city, the best thing for them to do is to stay out if they don't want to get slapped in jail. Our people here are peaceful people and we never have any trouble here unless some people come into our city looking for that trouble. And I've never seen anyone yet look for trouble that wasn't able to find it. Guess who said that?
KKK? Kyle K. Kirchmeyer?
No, actually, that was Bull Connor.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't it sound exactly like...
I thought it was a quote from him.
No.
Wow.
No, I wanted you to hear how exactly mm-hmm. similar they sound. Mm-hmm. And that is what you guys need to wake up to. This is a racist and hateful police force. Thank you for listening to this important 2-hour update on Standing Rock. Mini Wachoni, water is life. Oh,
Oh.